Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of our Never Alone Faith Over Cancer podcast. I'm Blaine Millett, and I'm your host for our podcast, and I'm thrilled you took some time out of your day to join me. I want you to know it means a lot to me that you're taking some time out for yourself to listen and hopefully be uplifted just a little bit more than you were before listening to this podcast. This episode is about peace, real peace. The kind you can't find anywhere else, you know, than when you have a relationship with Jesus. Total and complete peace. Because that's what he gives to each and every one of us when we ask and follow his teachings. So today I wanted to talk about something that I think a lot of us don't like to admit. Some of us are fighters. I mean that in a very specific way. We fight for control. We fight to be in charge of our own story. You know, we fight to keep the outcome in our own hands. We work hard. We make things happen. We figure things out. And, you know, that works really well for most of life. That posture serves us incredibly well in most of the things that we do until, you know, it doesn't. Because there are moments in life, and cancer is most always one of them, where you run into something that doesn't care how hard you fight for control, something that you cannot will your way through or change, something that is simply bigger than our abilities to manage the outcome. And for people like that, and I'm including myself when I talk about this, for strong-willed, accomplished-driven people, these moments are some of the hardest spiritual moments imaginable. Because, you know, the question underneath all that fighting that we go through isn't really about control. It's a much deeper one. It's actually, do I trust God? Do I actually believe he's good? Do I actually believe he can be trusted with the thing I care most about? I know, it's a deep gut check type of question, and I would venture to say most, if not all, of us wrestle with this in our journeys with cancer. And when that question finally has to be answered, you know, when the fighting has run its course and, you know, you're standing there exhausted and still not in control, that's the moment everything, it's either falls apart or comes together. And that's what happened to Scott Hamilton. And his story is one I find really uplifting and inspiring because, you know, I think there are a lot of people listening to this right now who recognize themselves in who Scott was before everything changed for Scott. I know I did. And I want you to see what happened to him when he finally stopped fighting. And I'm sure you know the name Scott Hamilton. You probably know him as one of the greatest figure skaters who ever lived. And in 1984, gold medalist, four-time world champion, four-time U.S. national champion. You know, he's a man who won 70 titles, awards, honors over his career and became one of the most recognizable names in the sport. You know, he grew up overcoming everything. As a child, I don't know if you knew this, but he contracted a mysterious illness that stopped him from growing. Doctors couldn't figure it out for years, and he was undersized, bullied, adopted, and he channeled all of that into an almost superhuman competitive drive that eventually took him all the way to the top of his sport. Talk about a guy who could take something that's gone bad and turn it into something that's gone incredibly well. So Scott was a man who knew how to fight, how to push, how to win. And just from a little background, and in 1997, at 38 years old, at the height of his career, abdominal pain led him to a hospital and a diagnosis that stopped everything. He had testicular cancer. And he went through chemotherapy. He came through it. He got back on the ice. Classic Scott Hamilton, fight, push, overcome. But you know, there's something about Scott that I think is important to understand. For all his faith and competition, for all the prayers he sent up in the moments of fear or pressure, he said it to himself, that he always believed in God, but couldn't fully commit to it. He said, I believed in God, but I couldn't identify the what and the how. There was always something pulling him back towards himself, towards his own strength, towards his own control, his own ability to figure things out. And that's a spiritual posture I totally understand. And I'm guessing some of you out there do as well. Then, in 2004, 7 years after surviving testicular cancer, Scott was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor. And here's the God moment I want you to really feel, because it came through the most, you know, the most unexpected person at the most unexpected time. When Scott told his wife Tracy the news, she took his hands and she prayed. That's right. She sat and prayed right there in that moment. And Scott said afterwards that it was, in his own words, the most powerful moment in my life. A man who had won Olympic gold, who had stood on the highest podium in his sport, who had faced cancer once and beat it. And the most powerful moment of his life was his wife taking his hands and praying over him. Because in that moment, something broke open in Scott that the cancer couldn't reach, and that the Olympics never touched, and that all the fighting and winning and overcoming had never gotten to. He had what he described as a profound awakening to the presence of God. And what came with it? You're right, peace, real peace. The kind that settled something deep that had never quite been settled before. And that's exactly what we read in John 14:27, where it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Not as the world gives, the world's peace. Scott had tried to find it in gold medals and championships and competitive wins, and none of it had given him what Tracy's prayer did in 30 seconds. On the worst day of his life. That's what Jesus' peace feels like when it actually arrives. It doesn't come from anything you've achieved. It doesn't come from figuring out the outcome. It arrives when we stop fighting and let God be God and let him do his thing. Now, let me tell you about the years before that moment happened, because I think the journey matters as much as the destination. Scott said that when he was skating in front of millions, he prayed. When he was diagnosed with cancer, he prayed. But it was going through it in his own strength, his own way. God is a resource rather than a relationship. Hey, you know, that was pretty good if you say so myself. Let me repeat that. God as a resource rather than a relationship. And he said afterwards, talking about when he finally started going to church with Tracy and reading scripture differently, "When I got to the red letters in the New Testament, I understood that every single thing I need to know was given to me by Jesus. Every way of solving a problem, every way of redeeming a relationship, every way of rising above affliction." That's what he said. Every way, not some, every way. But he got to be there. And he had to reach a place where, you know, his own strength wasn't enough, where fighting for control had run the road, and, you know, where the diagnosis was serious enough, where the uncertainty was deep enough that the only thing left was, do I trust God with this or not? And when he finally answered that question with a yes, when Tracy prayed and the presence of God broke through, everything changed. So, and let me share one of my all-time favorite verses again, Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." I love that verse. All your heart, not just part that feels safe to hand over, not just the crisis moments, you know, where we've got nothing left, all of it, the whole life. The identity, the control, the outcomes, all of it. And the result, he makes our path straight. Scott's path didn't get easier after that, but it got clearer. And he knew who was holding him. I mean, if you think about what he went through, he finally got it. And here's where the story gets even more remarkable, because the faith Scott found didn't just help him get through the brain tumor in 2004. It walked with him through what came next. He had 9 surgeries for a second brain tumor in 2010. And then in 2016, a third tumor was discovered. And this time, when the doctors presented surgical and medical options, Scott made a decision that surprised a lot of people. He chose none of them. Not because he was giving up, because he didn't do that in his life. Not because he was in denial, but because he had reached a place of peace with God that was so complete, so real, that he could look at the third brain tumor and say, I'm totally at peace with not looking at it again unless I become symptomatic. Total peace with a brain tumor and declining treatment. And then his surgeon came back with news that stopped everyone in the room. The tumor had shrunk by 45%. His surgeon offered only one explanation. It was God. That's a God moment, folks. That's Romans 8:28 made visible. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things, even brain tumor number 3. Even the moment when the medical options don't feel right and you trust God with the outcome instead. He works in all of it. And Scott said something after all of this that I think captures the whole journey in one sentence. Talking about the things that happened to him, the illness as a child, the cancer, the brain tumors, losing his mother to cancer. He said, why would I ever look at these difficult times as anything other than strengthening times? And boy, if there's one thing that I know for sure, and maybe you do too, is that when you reach your lows, like we do with cancer in our journey, we either get stronger or we give up. But these are strengthening times. That's not something a man says who is still fighting for control. That's something a man says who has generally surrendered, who has placed the hard things in God's hands and watched him work in them. And, you know, he came out the other side not bitter, but stronger, deeper, more at peace than he has ever had when winning gold medals, he says. And as we read in Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord, not those who fight hardest, not those who achieve the most, those who hope in him, whose strength is renewed, not by our own effort, but, you know, by God. They finally and fully trusted. That's Scott Hamilton. On the other side of fighting, on the other side of surrender, stronger than he ever was, not because of what he accomplished, but because of who he finally let lead. And looking at God as a relationship, not a resource. I love that line. You're going to hear that one again down the road. Now, let me just say something to you directly, because maybe you're a fighter too. Maybe you've spent your whole life being the person who figures things out, pushes through, makes things happen. Maybe faith has been something you believed in generally, but held kind of at arm's length. Maybe you've prayed in hard moments but kept God as a resource rather than a relationship. I call that being lukewarm because it's exactly where I was in my life. But when I came to being a boiling hot believer, when I made that same switch Scott Hamilton made, I wanted that deep and personal relationship with Jesus. And maybe cancer or whatever hard thing is sitting in front of you right now is the moment where that posture has finally run out of road. I understand that. I've been there in my own way. The moment where what you've always relied on isn't enough anymore. And, you know, the choice is either keep fighting something you can't control or you open your hands and say, God, you know, I trust you with this. And let me tell you, it's not a weakness. That's the most courageous thing a person can do, in my opinion, because it requires faith in something you can't control. And it's genuinely hard, especially for people who are good at controlling things. But here's, you know, what's waiting on the other side of that surrender. The peace that showed up for Scott Hamilton when Tracy prayed. The profound awakening of God's presence that he described as the most powerful moment of his life, the peace that he said, I'm totally okay with not looking at it again, and then watch the tumor shrink by 45%. You know, that peace is real, folks, and it's waiting for you as well. And another powerful version, another one of my personal favorites, is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Present your requests, all of them, including the ones you've been trying to manage on your own, and the peace, the impossible, shows up before anything else is resolved. It will guard you. That's not a platitude, folks. That's Scott Hamilton's real life. That was my life. And it's maybe very well be your life, and it can be yours. And if you've never really made that decision and stop fighting and start trusting, you know, if you've believed in God generally, but never really given it all to Him, let me just say this as simply as I can. The peace of Scott Hamilton didn't come from winning more. It came from surrendering completely. And that starts with exactly the kind of honest conversation Tracy had in that room. Hands held, heart open, God invited in. You know, you can have that conversation right now, wherever you are today, in whatever room you're in, with whatever hard thing is on the table. Just say, Jesus, I've been fighting and I'm tired. I believe in you. Take this. Take all of it. I'm done trying to hold on to what always was yours to hold. You know, you can learn more about how to invite Jesus into your life or strengthen your relationship with Him by visiting the page on our site called Accepting Jesus under the Connect and Join tab. And that's enough. He hears it every time. And the peace, the awakening, the profound shows up, changes everything in peace. It starts right there. So I hope this episode has helped you have a bit more peace and a deeper relationship with Jesus. I truly do. It's a powerful story, and Scott is a great example of where many of you might be today. I know I was there. So thank you for being here with me today on the Never Alone Faith Over Cancer podcast. I hope you will join me again on another episode to help find more hope and encouragement and peace. And if you're interested, Scott Hamilton's story is documented across multiple sources, CBN, Focus on the Family, Survivor Net, and many more. I'd really encourage you to look it up, read it in his own words, and share it with someone in your life who might be fighting for control of something that was never really theirs to control. And it may not even be cancer, maybe something else, but the message still rings true. And as always, remember, you are never alone, never. Jesus is always with you. All you have to do is turn and say, Jesus, I need you in my life, and ask to have a relationship with Him. And you will find amazing, incredible peace. I've been there, done that, and I'll tell you, the peace is unbelievable. So until next time, may God bless you, and I hope you have an amazing day.